Episode 122.
122.
Got the deuce in the back of my car. This is February 11th, 2018, and we are talking about Texas Frightmare Weekend. This will be the first of a two-part episode wherein we talk about Texas Frightmare Weekend and all of the
wonderful things they'll be doing that weekend and the awesome guests they'll have for you to meet.
I'm telling you, when I think about that place, it's kind of like I really get the Off to See the Wizard song in my head. We're off to see the wizard because it's just the most wonderful thing. It's so awesome. We've got a little bit of old business and a little bit of new business, so I'm going to invite Mr. Gomez in.
First, the old business!
Okay, kind of a short old business today. On this date in 1990, Buster Douglas knocks out Iron Mike Tyson in 10 rounds. His first guy who have actually gone toe-to-toe with Tyson for more than like 2 or 3 rounds.
Right, yeah, he was on a tear for a while there.
But Buster Douglas took him out in 10 rounds, and Tyson recovered, but he never quite recovered the way he never came back completely. He was never undefeated again.
Right. Well, that's where the spiral first started in his personal life and professional life also. So it's sad to say it was almost the beginning of the end of a phenomenal athlete.
Well, it's funny, man. I listened to the Joe Rogan podcast. He had Iron Mike on there, and he's all zenned out and completely. His entire life is completely turned around. He doesn't even watch fighting. He doesn't even watch boxing anymore. He doesn't want to be that person.
Right.
He said he looks back at that person. And he's like, man, that kid's a stupid kid, man. He's just so stupid. He talks about all the money he wasted and just how much just life that he wasted just being a dick. And he's just like, yeah, I'm over that. Which, you know, for a lot of people, if you have a guitar player that's like, yeah, I don't even play the guitar anymore. But somebody like Tyson, who he was dangerous. Like, When he attacked Holyfield in the ring and bit his ear off.
Yeah, just out of frustration, pure frustration. It was a sad moment in boxing for sure.
But you know, a person like a normal person, like if I tried to bite your ear off, first of all, there's probably a pretty good chance you'd hit me if I did, right? But if you're Mike Tyson, and the whole point of the reason we're in the same room together is to hit each other, nothing scares him.
Right.
Right. Like, that is like sociopath. That's dangerous. That's psycho. That's some Jason Voorhees shit right there. And he put it on display in front of everybody. And so I'm glad that he kind of learned to mellow himself out and just have cameos and hangover movies and stuff. It's a better life for him.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And he seems happier, so. Okay, February 11th, 2006 commemorates the day that, at the time, Vice President Dick Cheney shot his friend in the face while they were duck hunting.
Old boss. Say what you want. I actually like Dick Cheney a lot, man. He, like I said, I actually worked for the man, talked to him on a couple of occasions. He seemed pretty genuine to me, to be honest with you.
Well, you know. Don't want to go hunting with him.
No, of course not.
It's not what you think of him. It's what he thinks about you. That's what matters. All right, let's see. Notable births. This dude just happens to love Mondays because we put our show out on Monday, And he just seems to kind of keep making headlines. But in this date in 1847, February 11th, happy birthday to Thomas Edison.
Okay. Maybe he was just real well rested after the Sabbath, and Mondays was the day to shine.
Maybe so. Maybe so. Sorry, I had to bump my mic a little bit.
Nah, you're fine.
Now these ladies haven't showed up in a while, but they're back again. 1919, happy birthday to Ava Gabor.
Okay.
we didn't hear from them for a while.
No, we did have a couple of bits about them a couple weeks in a row. It's been a while back. It has been a while.
Okay. in better people. 1926, happy birthday to Leslie Nielsen.
Awesome. Nice.
1936, happy birthday to Burt Reynolds.
Another fantastic one.
Of course, just because we had to mention Dick Cheney, but in 1964, happy birthday to Sarah Palin. In 1969, I don't know what else she's been in besides Leprechaun. Happy birthday to Jennifer Aniston.
Well, she was on Friends. But as far as horror goes, it's Leprechaun. and of course, Office Space, that classic film right there.
Yeah, that was probably the best thing any of them were ever in. Oh, yeah. Office Space is incredible. And in 1974, he's been banned from all major networks, but our boy Chris used to work for him. Mr. Alex Jones.
He's been banned from more than just networks.
All the social media networks.
He's just a pariah, man.
Yeah, he's done.
Yeah, even the ugliness of his child custody case that was splashed all over Twitter and everything else. It's but he did put himself out there. He left himself open to all that. So.
All right. Notable deaths. In 1986, we lost Mr. Frank Herbert, the guy who wrote Dune.
Okay.
In 2006, a man who is near and dear to my heart, Mr. Peter Benchley, who wrote Jaws and Beast and The Island and The Deep and so many other great horror stories centered around the ocean. And in 2012, we lost Whitney Houston, which is such a bizarre story.
Yes, because just her rise to fame and just the level of stardom and celebrity she was at, and just divahood, and just to see the fall, but then the aftermath of the fall, like accepting being at the bottom and just going with it, dude. I don't know if you ever watched the Bobby and Whitney show that used to come on. But no. Oh my god, dude, that was one of the most, that was like at the beginning of the reality TV sensationalism and everything. And that show had some of the most memorable clips that I remember seeing from reality television. You would never imagine the woman that was in The Bodyguard was this woman on this reality show now. She was just so unrefined. I'll put it that way.
She was completely cracked out.
She was burp and fart and everything on TV. It was just like I said, you'd see the change from the diva that she was to what she had become. It was mind-boggling.
And the weird thing is that nobody put her there but herself. Like, the self-destruct. Like, a lot of times whenever you see, let's take a self-destructive artist, like a Kurt Cobain, for example. Like, he struggled to get out of a bad place, and he put himself into a better place making art centered around or inspired by the bad place, and ultimately his heart and soul could not escape the bad place.
Right.
Whitney Houston started in a good place.
Yeah.
I mean, she was not, she didn't come from nothing.
Right,
she
right.
was, I mean, she wasn't necessarily like rich or anything, but you know, she was a little church girl, and she had support.
She had some class.
She had friends. Yeah, and you know, she rose to the top, and there was really no reason for her to not stay up there. I mean, look at all of the missteps that somebody like Mariah Carey made. Right. You know, Mariah Carey's been on and off charts and kind of in and out of the spotlight for her whole career, but you can kind of guess that whatever Mariah Carey happens to be doing, it's probably got something to do with, like, tablecloths and fine china and probably some high bills, you know? Like, you don't really think of her as, like, slumming it in Cracksville.
Right. But
Whitney Houston went far down.
But at the same time, right. Bobby Brown definitely helped in enabling the destructive behavior and downfall. Like I said, if you see, I'll play some clips for you sometime from that reality TV show, and you'll see what I mean. It's just, it's not the people that you saw perform. It's, they were nothing like you would have imagined it would have been like with the height of fame that they had. It's crazy, man.
Wow. We have to check it out. It's like seems like a worse horror story than a lot of
others. Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, with that, we're going to take a break real quick, and we will be right back with the new business.
All right.
Four years ago, in this quiet forest, in this cozy cabin, something happened. Something so frightening. Something so deadly. Something so evil. We prayed it would never happen again. Now, from the creator of Evil Dead, comes Evil Dead 2. Dawn.
All right, we're
yes,
back.
Yes, we are.
What you
go, man?
New business is new business, and this is new business.
Okay, now we got a couple of animal stories today. One, I'm sure you heard about the jogger in Colorado that with his bare hands fought off and killed. He didn't just fight it off; he killed a mountain lion.
I did hear about
yes.
that.
Go ahead.
Mountain lions are terrifying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're a powerful beast, man, with sharp claws and really big teeth. But anyway, a Colorado jogger fought off a mountain lion in the foothills of Horsetooth Mountain, suffering severe bites before he killed the wild animal in self-defense with his bare hands. Guy didn't have a gun. He didn't have the knife. He killed this mountain lion, man, and survived. The man was not identified. He was jogging on a trail in a mountain park about 66 miles northwest of Denver. Mountain lion attacked it from behind, biting and clawing the man's face, back, legs, and arms. And he was able, however, it's not disclosed exactly how the jogger managed to kill the animal. No one from has been available for comment, but it's pretty damn impressive. Even though the mountain lion was described to be a juvenile, it's still a damn mountain lion. And you're yes. one-on-one, and he got you with a sneak attack.
Well, and that's one of those things, like, a mountain lion notwithstanding, but it always tripped me out, and I'm not going to stand here and pretend that it would happen any differently with me, but every now and then you'll hear about somebody who gets attacked by a dog, right? Like, not a kid, but maybe a grown-up. They get attacked by a dog. And I'm like, okay, well, here's the thing. I've been around dogs my whole life. And the thing about a dog is you can be, like, playing a little tug-of-war over a sock and bump them in the nose just kind of slightly by accident, and they'll squeal bloody murder and go run to the back of the house. So I'm assuming that if I'm walking down the street and this dog walks up to me and is all like, rrr, Well, yeah, I'm probably going to get bit. I'm probably going to get scratched. But I outweigh it by 100 pounds easily. Yeah. I'll just keep smacking it until it goes away.
Yeah, do everything you can like, to fight back.
You know, I'll just kick it and punch it and make it leave. Now, I do not think that about a mountain lion. I think, mountain lion, huh? I guess I'm screwed.
You just roll up in a ball in a fetal position and hope that it thinks you're dead.
Yeah, just like, okay, I mean, maybe I'll get a couple of good shots off. You know, maybe it'll go back to its cave and be like, man, he kind of got me. But there's no, I'm not beating a mountain lion. There's no way I'm going to beat a mountain. Like, I'll kick a dog's ass. I'm not going to beat a mountain lion. Like,
whoa.
This guy said, nope.
Well, Mark Leslie of Colorado Parks and Wildlife would disagree with you. He actually says this runner did everything he could to save his life. In the event of a lion attack, you need to do anything in your power to fight back, just as this gentleman did. So you definitely want to take the same dog approach, kicking, screaming, eye gouging.
Well, I'm not saying that I wouldn't try. I'm just saying that I would not go into that fight confident. Right? Hey, man.
Okay, next up, another animal story. I need to try to find a follow-up on a young 3-year-old Casey Lynn Hathaway from North Carolina. The 3-year-old vanished from his grandmother's house for 3 days. He spent 2 days in the woods. When they finally found him, he was actually safe. He was good to go. He wasn't sick, wasn't injured or anything. And he let everyone know that he spent 2 days with his friend, the bear. Apparently, a bear happened upon him. And according to this 3-year-old kid, in interviews with authorities and also with the hospital, he just hung out with his black bear for a couple of days, stayed safe till he finally somebody finally happened upon him and found him, which is pretty crazy, man. God sent the grandmother said God sent the bear, so you know how God has that. He sends otters. He sends all kind of animals to save people every once in a while. So.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. I'm not gonna comment in any kind of snide or sarcastic way. You've heard about children that are raised by wolves, mm-hmm. right? Like, well, think about that. I mean, wolves are dogs, but they're feral, yeah. And they're dogs. You know, you've been around dogs. Dogs piss, shit, and eat on everything. They don't give a crap. They don't care if it's big. They don't care if it's small. The only thing they care about is if it can hit them back. Otherwise, everything's fair game to a dog. So for a pack of wolves to find a baby human and be like, you know what? Let's raise this. Like, let's teach this thing.
Yeah, let's let them hang out.
Like, I'm not going to necessarily say it's God, but it's certainly something more than driving hunger, yeah. Which would most people would say, you know, it's like the black bear finds this little kid and is just like, well, he's not shooting at me, so I guess he's cool. And if I save his life, he won't shoot at me later. But that is an amazing story.
I can
story.
See the TV movie coming out now. I'm sure Disney's already working on getting the rights to this one. So, but like I said, I need to get a follow up to see if possibly they may have tracked the bear down to find the bear itself, or you know, pretty cool.
Little did they know that the bear was like hiding, because we did our little thing about bears and how they killed people and like cached them in like partial caves, like into badger holes and stuff. It's like little boys, like he's safe because the bear saved him, but then there's like a dead hiker shoved in a cave over there who didn't punch hard enough.
Okay, and sad news in the world of horror, of course, as you know, the 92-year-old Julie Adams, the famous damsel in distress and the creature from the Black Lagoon, has passed away. And I'm sure you want to reflect on that a little bit, being that you recently had communications with her. And got your autograph and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of times you read the things, say we were saddened to hear. And we've talked about it in new and old passes away. It's like, well, you know, that, hey, 92, she had a good run. You know, she lived a good long life. She had a successful life, and she had a loving family. And, but still, you know, she was a person, and she had her life. And I recently, I can't say for sure that it was her that I was talking to, but I kind of think maybe whenever she replied to my email and was like, yeah, talk to my son at this email address and he'll work it out for you. But no, it was one of those things that I saw her official fan, you know, her official Facebook page, and I realized that, like, well, 92, it's hard. And she's the gentleman whose name I can't remember off the top of my head is the final Universal Monster. And he was the swimming creature,
mm-hmm.
creature from the Black Lagoon. Anyway, I'll remember in a second. But he's the last surviving Universal Monster. She was the last. She was one of the last major stars. She's the last major star. And Boris Karloff died in 1969, so like this is an era removed from me by before I was even born. I had no idea. Right. I had no reason to think she was still around, and whenever I did, I was like, "Oh, man, this is awesome!" So I reached out, and she sent me a personalized autograph poster of the creature from the Black Lagoon. It's hanging on my wall right now. She answered my email, and She was extremely, you know, friendly and forthcoming and very happy to be, you know, I guess just happy to be in that world of where you know, people knew who she was and appreciated it and wanted a little piece of history. And I asked her to personalize it. I didn't want just a signature. I wanted it with my name on it. A lot of it because, you know, like at some point this stuff's going to go to my daughters and my daughter's going to be like, wow, you know, this was for dad. He didn't buy it off of eBay, you know? And, but no, it meant a lot to be able to reach out to someone like that, that, you know, I'm just some fucking dude, right? Like,
yeah.
I have a podcast and I like write stories and stuff, but I'm just some dude. And to be treated like, you know, like, oh man, you know, you kind of made me feel good today because you reached out to me, you know, made me feel good. And I was glad we had that little connection, and it was awesome.
Cool.
Sort of like meeting somebody at Frightmare where you have that few minutes to talk to them and you realize they're like real human beings.
Yeah, they're really cool, yeah.
And they're really just cool
regular
people. I got to experience that via email, but it was awesome. So rest in peace. I'm gonna crack one, and we're gonna drink a toast to Mrs. Juliet Adams.
Let's do it. Alrighty, let's get a little bit of levity, why don't we?
Alright, let's do it.
Okay, I don't know if you heard about the Florida man.
The Florida man?
Who was recently caught stealing what he thought were hydrocodone pills, but turned out to actually be over-the-counter laxatives. Peter that Hans.
That sounds like something that, like, if I was a pharmacist, I'd be like, hey, check this out. I'm going to put these in there, and I'm going to leave it within reach.
If anybody holds us up, give them that bottle. Cops allege that Peter Hans Emery, 56, took the pills from a lockbox at the victim's home on a Thursday morning. He was at somebody's house and basically digging through the medicine cabinet trying to see what he could steal. He was recorded on video entering the box, selecting a pill bottle, pouring the pills in his hand, and then leaving. The pill bottle said hydrocodone acetaminophen, but he had not swiped that. He had actually swiped dosages of Equate Gentle Laxative, which promises predictable overnight relief. When Park Police Department officers caught up with Emery Thursday night, he reportedly admitted taking the pills because he thought they were hydrocodone, but he threw them away when he learned there was something else. I would love to know how he learned there was something else. Hydrocodone don't make me go to the bathroom this long.
Well, you know, it's like you eat the pill and it doesn't make you feel the way a hydrocodone should, which it's, you've taken hydro before, right?
Yeah.
Like, the first time I took those horror story inside of the story, the first time I ever took those, I had implant surgery. And so, like, I go under and I wake up and the inside of my mouth is cut. I got stitches all on the inside of my gums. They had drilled into my skull. It was rough. And I woke up. They're like, yeah, we gave you some. I don't know if it was morphine, but it's like maybe gave me a morphine shot before I woke up. So I had the painkiller kicking. They're like, give me a prescription. They're like, no, we were to take these regularly as per the schedule. Okay, fair enough. But I'm feeling no pain, right? I wake up, I've got a little bit of numbness. I'm like, that looks pretty gnarly, but it don't hurt real bad. Eat my hydrocodone, like, doobie-doobie-doo, whatever. I think I'm all right. Like, I forget to take it. I take a nap. I wake up from that nap feeling like Hellraiser. Like, there's a hook inside of my mouth, and it's dragging me out of the water. Like, the pain just unbearable. And I ran to the kitchen. Like, it was like right out of the movie where I'm like shaking the bottle, like trying to crack it open. I get the pill. I throw it down, and I know I have about like half an hour before it's gonna actually kick in. And when it kicks in, it's like, I feel normal again. I'm like, okay, I'm not gonna let that lapse again. That was the most excruciating 30 minutes of my life. That sucked. So yeah, you know, you take that, but it just made me feel like normal without pain. Imagine if you take it and it's supposed to give you a buzz and it makes you poop. You're
next thing you know, your stomach starts grumbling.
You're gonna be like, was there too much butter on that taco? Wait, I haven't even had a taco. It wouldn't take you long to figure it out. But yeah, man, it's like those things work, is what I'm trying to say. Is they work, and they work really quick, and they work well. So where if you took it and you're like, well, I'm not getting the buzz I think I should, but now there's a grumbling. You're gonna figure that out. You're not gonna take a second pill to figure out like what the hell? Let me have another one.
Okay, and last but not least, we've got a new Will Greenley. Now, Will Greenley decided to switch it up a little bit. I'm assuming his editor called him and said, Greenley, the over-explanation of things is cute, but we need to switch it up a little bit. On this next article, I want you to overuse quotation marks. Just use them where you don't need to use them, and let's see how it goes. So here is Off the Beat with Will Greenley. Now, the people listening will have to just check for changes in syntax and pronunciation to know where the quotes are, but you'll be able to see where the quotes are because I'll make sure to do air quotes wherever they're required. The title of the article is Intimate Acts in Hot Tub Prompt Gunfire. I'm sorry, Intimate acts in hot tub prompt gunfire. And there were actually intimate acts in the hot tub going on, so I'm not sure why you quoted intimate right there. But what do you do when you spy folks engaging in intimate activities in the hot tub? You grab your gun and you start shooting. At least that's what Robert Hakens, 64, is accused of January 19th at an undisclosed address in Martin County. Woman told Martin Sheriff's deputies after 11 p.m. that she, Hakens, and a friend were in a hot tub on the back patio. She said Hakens went inside to go to sleep while she and the friend stayed in the hot tub. The woman said she and the friend got romantic in the hot tub, and then Haken saw them. She said Haken started yelling. He went in the home. As her friend grabbed his stuff. Then he came out with a gun, fired shots into the patio screen, and she also said that the man hit her. So the guy just came out and started shooting up the place. Meanwhile, Haken's told deputies he saw the two missed in a sex act and grew enraged. He said he got his gun to scare them, firing shots toward the south part of the property. He says he did not hit the woman. The friend told investigators he was being intimate in the hot tub with the woman. And when Haken threatened him, he said he took off running. He said he ran from the home and saw Haken's come out with a gun. He heard several pops as he ran. I'm not sure why they quoted pops there, because if you're shooting the gun, you're going to hear pops. It's not... Deputies found two cartridge cases and two holes in the screen. He was arrested on charges of domestic battery and aggravated assault. And I love how Ed Greenlee finished the article. One more off-the-beat coverage. If you're already a subscriber to TC Palm, thank you. If not, subscribe at the link below. So, yeah.
Dude, that's hilarious.
You see all the air quotes they had in there, man? Just over and over and over again. And what's funny is where I found this, I was checking out Smoking Gun, and I'm reading this article, and it says, as reported by Will Greenlee. I'm like, oh, shit, Will Greenlee made Smoking Gun. That is awesome.
Maybe we could have him on someday.
That would be great. To have him on for a Florida Man episode.
Well, before we finish new business, it's about a week past the State of the Union, and I'm not sure if the government shut down or not. And I know that a lot of people were hurt by this, but I'm going to put something up to the screen. You see that little guy? Okay. What that is, is a little pewter Jason Voorhees. And why that is because this dude on Instagram, see how he's all nice and... So this dude on Instagram,
that is pretty cool, man.
Posted it and was like, if you want this, here's a link to my eBay store. So I clicked a link to the eBay store, and he's maybe a little smaller than I thought he was going to be, because I thought he was going to be the same size as my this knight right here, right? So yeah, he's a little bit smaller, but still, the detail's awesome.
The detail looks pretty good.
But anyway, I thought he was going to be about that big. And it wouldn't have mattered anyway. I would have bought it because it's Jason Voorhees and whatever. But anyway, this dude custom makes these things. And so I bought it. And what I didn't realize was that it was shipping from Russia. Again, would not have made any difference. But the guy who makes it lives somewhere in the Russian Federation. I bought it back around Thanksgiving, and it was supposed to be here around New Year's. And a couple of days after New Year's, I get this frantic email in broken English from this dude. It's like, I don't know why. He's like, I don't know why you haven't got it yet. Please don't give me bad review, and please just wait longer time. And, you know, like, and at the time, the government was shut down, so I was just like, you know what, dude, I don't care. Like, it'll show up eventually, or it won't. But then you'll just refund my money and whatever. So it finally arrived, like, I guess a week and a half ago. So it was supposed to be here New Year's. So it was like a month and a half, or, you know, a month will pass due. And it showed up. And so I texted him, or I sent him a message. And I'm sure, like, most people around the world are probably not as laid back as me. I was like, yo... Our government shut down, and until they can figure out their shit, customs was not working. So they weren't processing packages the way they should. So it finally showed up, and it's awesome. Yeah. So no worries. Like, some dude in America to some dude in Russia over Friday the 13th, he's like, oh man, thank you so much. He's like, I depend on reviews to keep my business alive. I'm like, well, there you go, bro. So anyway, that was my government shutdown story. I don't know if the government is still shut down at the time that we're I think it's open.
It'll still be open. It's going to be open because I have a couple of employees working for me right now that are affected by the shutdown. So they got part-time jobs working at night so they have some revenue. But as I want to say, it's open until the 17th, and that's when everything starts over again. So it's either going to shut down again on the after the 17th, or they'll come up with a plan. So we'll see how that goes. Because they don't want to quit yet just in case it shuts down again. Yeah, they were working their full-time jobs for no pay while they were working for me at night. So it's but they're getting back pay. That's the good thing is, at least they're going to get all their money back from they're not working.
Yeah, but see, they're going to get paid for all the work that they weren't doing. Or are you talking about the what they were actually working?
Yeah, they were actually working. Yeah, they were still having to go in. One of the guys works; he's a prison guard. So yeah, he was still having to go to work in the federal penitentiary.
That's messed up because there's all those people that were furloughed. It's like okay, whatever. I'm not trying to be callous to people, but like basically it works like this. If my job, if my company decides we need six less people, and the way that they decide that they need six less people is they don't like tall, red-faced guys with glasses, I'm gone. And there ain't nothing bringing me back. And I'll get whatever they decide they'll give me. Like, well, go ahead and go away. We don't give a fuck. Go. Okay. All of these government employees, right. Not all of them, but a lot of these government employees are like, okay, well, you're from the Department of what the fuck ever. We don't even know. You're not important, so just go home. Well, those people have been sitting on their couch for 2 months. They're getting paid back pay for not doing shit. And that's what's frustrating is like, yeah, if you were doing shit and not getting paid, then I've got all of the sympathy for you. If you were doing nothing... And you get, right. And you get full back pay. Okay, well then, why are you protesting?
You still got
like
three,
like 2 months vacation. Like, maybe it was a little hard to pay your bills, but like, take this little windfall, and then like, put some money in the bank, and so next time it happens, you can go to Kima or something or Cabo. You're just like, hey, not Kima. Like, which Kima is almost damn expensive as Cabo, so never mind.
Yeah, it is a tourist trap there, man.
Alright, well let's come back with the meat of the show.
Well, that's all I got. You wanna go psycho with me, Elvira? Here at the Bates Motel? Look for me wherever they sell mug root beer. And enter the Go Psycho with Elvira contest. You can be my guest at Universal Studios in Hollywood for a monstrous bash at the Bates Motel. Shower anyone? This Halloween, go psycho with Elvira and win a party with mug root beer and me.
I love my mug.
I love it.
Texas Frightmare Weekend. The absolutely exceptional guest list, so much that we can't talk about them all in one show.
Well, wait,
so
wait,
what we're going to do
wait.
Is we're going to
go ahead and finish your thought, but don't start talking. I want to revisit text message that you sent me yesterday. The one that you're saying about
which one?
About our home, the Frightmare, and their competition. Who's shot some shots across their bow?
Yes, they're not just messing with Texas Frightmare. They're messing with every Texas con. They've jumped around their dates for the past couple of years.
I think maybe they're just trying to find a place to land,
poking the stick at different things. I don't know.
I'm not talking in defense of them. I'm saying, well, like, if they're directly competing with guys, or versus they're directly competing with those guys, they're trying to find a place to directly compete with and beat. If they're trying to go, so Scott sends me this text. Did you see how we're not even going to talk about it because hey, we might be friends with them later. But did you see how the other convention is trying to stick it to Frightmare Weekend? To which I responded, yes, shots fired. And we had a couple little bit more back and forth, and to which I responded, because every now and then you'll have a big con, and they'll be solid, and then another con will announce a guest, and you're like, oh damn. It's not like Frightmare Weekend is going to unsell out 20 hotels because of one guest. And there would be lots and lots of people who would be happy to step to take those rooms. Frightmare might have to step up bigger for next year, but the love there is solid.
It's a movement, man. It's a Frightmare, Texas Frightmare Weekend, like we said so many times on this program, is unlike any other convention that I've ever been to. And I've worked for a pretty large convention, and I've been to a lot of them.
So yeah, I don't think anything's going to take away from Frightmare. I think maybe you'll get some bleed off from some folks that couldn't get a hotel for Frightmare. And to be honest, hey, the guests that that other con has, they're good guests. I'm not going to dog on it. I mean, that's phenomenal. You got that kind of talent. You can pull that talent. That's awesome. You know what would be better is if you were to position yourself about 6 months away from Frightmare, and then pull that talent, and
so everybody can all enjoy of
the Frightmare people. But I don't think you're going to pull the Frightmare people. You're going to pull the people who aren't able to go to Frightmare for one reason or another. I don't think anybody's going to cancel their VIPs to go to the other place. That's just me. Right. I could be wrong, but I don't think it's going to happen.
All right, well, Texas Frightmare Weekend, of course, is May 3rd through 5th of 2019 in Dallas, Texas, at the Hyatt Regency, the DFW Airport. Held on the same weekend every year, the first weekend of May, the weekend before Mother's Day. And like I said a little while ago, they have an absolutely exceptional lineup for you this year. So we're going to start off, we're going to take a chunk to begin with. In my opinion, one of the... there's so many ways I could see them working with these three particular guests as far as with photo ops and fan experiences, because they've done so much together. These three people have grew up together. You know, they've been knowing each other for that long since they were teenagers. But, of course, I'm speaking of the king himself, Mr. Bruce Campbell, and the Raimis, Sam and Ted Raimi, will be making an appearance at Texas Frightmare Weekend. And like I said, I told you before, awesome. I can see them pulling up in the old Delta, pulling up to valet in the Delta and jumping out and going inside the con, man.
I would pay to see that. That would be...
I mean, you're looking at... You do a photo op with the Delta and the three guys there, man. There's so much... These guys have such a history together, have done so much together, significant to the horror genre, that, you know, their place in horror hierarchy cannot be denied.
I just imagine. well, you mentioned it, and I doubt the Delta's going to be there because they haven't. Frightmare would definitely announce the Delta.
Yeah, there was a replica of it at a convention in Houston last year, which I know a couple people, they got some pictures of it and everything. But yeah, it would be cool to have even a replica there just to. But there's no place they could really put it because there's so many people at Texas Frightmare. The way it's set up, you.
I don't know, dude. Cool. You think the car that survived Evil Dead 2 got cast into the past and evil into Army of Darkness couldn't survive a bunch of loving hands touching it for a couple hours?
I know it definitely could, man. And we know it's still running because it just got through making an appearance in the Ash vs. Evil Dead series on Stars. So we know it's still around. But yeah, so the of course, Sam Raimi, renowned writer and filmmaker. For horror fans, probably best known for the Evil Dead trilogy and Ash vs. Evil Dead.
Spider-Man.
And for everybody else, Spider-Man 1, 2, and 3. You know? Dark Man, Quick of the Dead, Oz the Great and Powerful. He's done so many movies, man. Yet he has such a unique style to the way he does stuff, which was all, which interesting enough, was all honed with his work with the Evil
Dead. Oh, no, I was agreeing with you. I was going to say, like what we had talked about, yeah. I think, whenever we did the Fresh Eyes for Evil Dead, was how creative and innovative they had to be just to get that on screen. I mean, if you think about the story behind Evil Dead and what it requires as far as just visual effects and wires and things being thrown around and like the animated deer, the animated book, you know, just so many things
yeah.
that they had no budget for, but really good ideas. They had to figure out how to make that work. And, you know, Sam Raimi and, well, Sam, Bruce, and Ted are all, they were all there whenever they were like, hey, let's use milk. Let's use marzipan. I don't know, whatever it was that they used to do those effects. They were there whenever it was all fresh and all done with, like, wires and milk jugs. As opposed to having the multi-million-dollar budget, like the CGI budget and everything, and
yeah,
like
the CGI
said,
and everything.
The
yeah.
CGI versus the real. Imagine being so creative that you could make these zombies look real with again, like, you know, coat hangers and egg whites, and then you also have a CGI budget. Like, what can you do with that if you're that creative? You're just like, hey.
Right. What they could do with it, of course, is Ash vs. Evil Dead, which is this pretty much exactly what you described. And what I love about Ash vs. Evil Dead is they didn't over-CGI it. They pretty much stuck with the practical effects that made the Evil Dead franchise so popular. He's a phenomenal guy. And just the group of them working together, because, of course, Bruce Campbell has been involved with pretty much every movie that Sam Raimi has made. And Ted
is, again, I keep
the brother, the little brother,
and I keep joking, and I know that
always
like,
been
like
there
Rick
as well.
Manny from Hail Ming would just like they would agree. It's like if you have Sam who directed, and you have Bruce who starred, and you have Ted who is literally every other character, then pretty much you have the entire Evil Dead franchise.
You have a reunion. Army of Darkness reunion,
But Ted Raimi played so many characters in Evil Dead and in Evil Dead 2 and in Army of Darkness. And I don't know, you just kind of hear it as we talk about it. Kind of, I think, I don't think it was the same thing with Fresh Eyes because we were just talking about movies. But talking about the people who made the movies and how they're going to be right in front of us. Like, we gotta stand in line to talk to them, but dude, they're right there. Like, that is awesome.
Right, right. It's just an awesome feeling. People that have that much of an effect on your love of horror and just of your youth to be right there where you can see them. Bruce Campbell, of course, Bruce Campbell's done so much more than just working with the Raimis, of course. Bubba Hotep's one of my favorite films, as we talk about all the time. Bruce Campbell is a horror icon, dude. He just he's awesome. And you have a chance to meet him, get an autograph, chat with him a little bit and get a photograph if you want of, you know, just a legendary horror icon. And not just horror. I mean, I'm actually one of the things that I want to get signed by him is from his time on Hercules and Xena when he played the thief. I have one of the action figures of him from that, which I think I'm going to have him sign that one. But I know a lot of people that were big fans of Xena that's the reason they're going to be
I just sent you a text message. Oh, do you have your phone nearby? I just sent you a text message.
Yeah.
Speaking of Frightmare Weekend. Did you see what I sent you? Well, just give it a second.
No, it didn't come through yet.
Because I've been talking about this thing, and I've looked for it on eBay and stuff so I could grab it. I don't know why I don't just, like, if I remember something cool, like, oh, there was this thing, I don't just Google it to see if it exists. I just look on eBay and see if it's for sale. I said, oh, that is, dude, the thing, we were talking that my about dad that brought thing. Home that is that so time.
Awesome, man.
Just like a scene out of Christmas Story where the major, when the major award showed up at the house and he was so proud of it, and the mom was like, what?
So proud of it.
My dad showed up at the house one night. He had gone to the store and he came home and he had this Elvira Coors Light standee. And so it was one of those cardboard cutouts of Elvira. She was advertising Coors Light. And he came home and he was like, look at this. It's the coolest thing ever. And of course, I was just like Ralphie, was like, And my mom's like, well, where are we going to put it? And he, like, sets it right in the middle of the living room. And he's like, well, I think it looks good right where it is. And my dad was a teaser and always was, but that was one of the funniest things ever because, you know, my mom just, like, rolls her eyes and goes back wherever. And I'm sitting there being like, I'll put it in my room, Dad. And, like, I was probably, like, 8 or 9 years old. But I sent you the picture. That's one of those things that matters. That matters. I'm going to have more stuff stacked up for Xander Peterson than I can even think of. That's Sam Raimi's awesome. Bruce Campbell's awesome. Ted Raimi's awesome. Because the Elvira? Elvira
as a kid, yeah. Like, Elvira was always there.
She. I can't. I have no words for.
It's
no. She looks exactly the same as she ever did. She
doesn't change. Oh, trust me. I got a stack of comic books and also magazine covers that she was on. That I will be bringing. That yeah. She Another true icon. There's so many iconic horror figures that are going to be at Texas Tribune Weekend, man. It's just...
Jeez.
Can't wait. Be there. This is one you don't want to miss. You definitely do not want to miss Texas Tribune Weekend. And of course, they're going to have the Nightmare on Elm Street reunion, which we'll get into on the next episode. My man Lance Henriksen. You know, I don't know if people realize just... Lance Henriksen has been in so much stuff. And he's so good at what he does. You know, he doesn't have a lot of lead roles, but the roles that he is in, he's the guy that you're paying attention to.
You think about him in, like, a movie like Pumpkinhead, where he's just, like, you know, some kind of soft-spoken redneck dude. Yeah, Pumpkinhead
was a good one. That was a good one for him.
But then you look at him in Aliens. He's completely different character. In Predator, completely different character. Like, yeah. He's, yeah. Can't wait to see that guy.
Jesus, dude,
something triggered that like, I didn't want to spend $20 on a VHS or a DVD. Now it's up to, like, $35, and I'm scared to, like, I need to go ahead and get it because, shit, what's going to happen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I'm wondering, what's bad is that, remember I told you about the laser disc that I found? That one was only $35. So I'm thinking that I have a laser disc player. I can watch that.
Well, dude, I'm looking at the timer. We are, like, coming up right on an hour. I'm going to have to close this one down. But thank you, everybody, for listening. 122 of Texas Frightmare Weekend 2019, Part 1. We love you, and we will see you later on. Keep it scary.
skies.